It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
That is right, B-Maz and Beamer. Brian Mazurowski here, Joe Beamer alongside me on WBEN with you for the next hour or so. Devastating news for me, Joe. Well, I'm not surprised, actually. A minor local celebrity back in my college hometown.
Okay.
Actually, a big celebrity back in my college hometown. Minor celebrity outside anywhere. Got the Von Miller haircut.
Okay.
Posted it online. Von Miller retweeting, let's go. it's adding fuel to the pressure that I feel from no one at all, but just inside myself to get that haircut before the end of the season.
That's the goal for you.
How many people at the game Monday night will have the Von Miller triangle haircut?
That is a good question. I won't be surprised if I see it.
More than zero.
Well, yeah, is that minor celebrity going to be there?
I don't know, but I mean, right?
Yeah, I think you're right, yes.
More than one? I say yes. You see how ridiculous people dress? I mean, what's a haircut?
You're right. Are you going more than 10?
We have somebody who is plastering themselves with ketchup and mustard before every game.
This is a good point.
I mean, it's a triangle.
A triangle is
haircut. That's
a lot
even more tame
to accomplish. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Von Miller has an NFT as his profile picture. I thought that was interesting.
What does that mean?
That means he paid for the NFT so he could have it as his profile picture. It when you click on his Twitter, it comes up. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, guess what, Joe?
He's got the money.
He's making a lot of money. Yeah. He can afford to do whatever the heck he wants. B-Maz and Beamer here with you, 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN. A couple of Bills related things in the news today, Joe, that we've been talking about. One of which is making you look like a real genius.
Yeah, finally.
Another that I love because of our web poll this morning. So I want to start there. We have had the story yesterday. Orchard Park and Frontier School Districts will have a half day this upcoming Monday, right? They said they have a half day because of Bills traffic. Both districts are around the stadium. They have schools in the area. I mean, sometimes the schools you park at, are right next to for some of these games. And they say that, all right, we're going to have a half day Monday so that our buses can run and students can get home before all the game traffic begins. And now online at WBEN.com, this is the question, Joe. I love this. We are asking you, our Relax Honda web poll, when it comes to schools closing early Monday in advance of the Bills game to reduce traffic and increase safety, do you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Now, right now, a slight majority actually do say thumbs up. But I did love, before when we were talking about this in the morning, over 50% of people voted thumbs down. Mm-hmm. And just like imagine voting thumbs down the way the question is worded. Hey, schools are closing early Monday to reduce traffic and increase safety. No, I want increased traffic,
yes.
Decrease safety is what I
Chaos
want.
Chaos on the streets. That's
if
what I want to see.
People dodging cars and please more of that. I plan on going to the game and I would actually like more cars and buses frequently stopping on the road when I don't see how people are so sour on this idea. It's smart. And in Orchard Park, it's not just smart. It's planned.
Yes.
They planned for this to happen when the schedule came out. They're having a day where they would normally have a half day somewhere in the school year and they do like staff
development.
Whatever.
Yes.
Whatever that is. And kids have a half day. They're doing that. They planned that. It was going to happen at some point. They planned that for this day, for this reason. That, to me, is smart pre-planned thinking.
Yeah, we should all be applauding this. I think it's great, especially for people going to the game, people who have kids in the district, for those who have to go pick up their kids in the district. I think this is all great. And I am surprised. You said I'm surprised that it's still 46% saying thumbs down. That there are 46% of people out there.
What about it doesn't make sense?
Yeah, I do you not like you said, those are built-in half days. It's not like they made up a half day. Those are built into the calendar. They decided, let's use it when it will not only benefit us as a school district, it'll benefit the community. Something we talked about yesterday, helping the community out. This is benefiting all in Western New York. And let's be realistic. A lot of places should probably just do a half day because most people I know going to the game are taking a half day.
I mean, it's just one of these. It just makes sense. And it's how often do you have these examples of people thinking ahead and doing the smart thing?
Right.
Like never. No. And it's happening here. And still we got like half of the people on our web poll saying no.
And this would have been a story. If they went full day, that would definitely. Allen's traffic reports Monday afternoon would have had, you know, slow traffic, buses. I mean, this is a great decision. It's using one of those built-in days. This is what we call common sense decision making, and I'm happy to see the districts do that.
Do you want your kids going home from school in that immediate area as Bill's traffic is heading to the lots?
No.
Like, that's what you have to think about. Joe, I was at one of the preseason, the kids' day game.
Yes.
So you've got kids all around. It's like the one day a year where everyone's like, oh, I can take my kid into the stadium during a game. And I'm in some of the streets around the stadium, and you have people with, you know, traffic's moving slow the closer you get to the stadium. You have people, and there's no sidewalks, by the way, on some of these roads really close to the state, on the same roads where you'd turn in to go to an arena parking lot.
Right.
And you have people whizzing by on the shoulder of the road to get around people who are waiting in traffic. I was losing my mind behind the wheel as I'm sitting there. And it's not like we were just sitting there for an hour. Like, you were moving. You just weren't moving all that fast. You have people whizzing by on a road where there's no sidewalks. You have people walking down the road on the shoulder to get to the stadium, and it's on kids' day. I mean, you not just have people, you got little kids doing the same thing, walking down the shoulder of the road to try and get to the stadium, and you got people going by. Now imagine that you let school out, elementary schools, middle schools, some kids ride the bus, some kids walk, people get picked up. You want to add all that to the craziness of stadium traffic for a 7 o'clock game? You want to add to the 3-4 o'clock mess. You also have everyone who's working at that time, too, by the way.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do exactly what this is?
And the same people who are complaining would be the people complaining if something happened on Monday. Oh, why didn't the school see this? They're the same people that would be complaining.
Think back all the time to the snowstorm we had. And you had kids in, I want to say, you know, I'm sorry if I'm wrong on this, I want to say it was in West Seneca, I don't know what school, what, you know, area of the district, who were on buses because they were caught in snow traffic from the end of school till after 9 o'clock at night because of everything that resulted. And everybody after, why didn't they think ahead? This is crazy. Some pre-planned, they should have saw this coming. That's what you would have ended up with here. I mean,
exactly.
You can't complain both ways.
And again, I don't think people understand, like you said, Brian, those are built-in days. Also, people don't understand the game is at 7:15, not 8:20.
I don't think it would have mattered. And it's not like this is the first time. This has been done before.
Oh, no.
School districts have done this before for nighttime games.
Yes.
Because they know what's going to happen.
Yep.
People texting in, 803-0930 if you want to weigh in on this. 803-0930, give us a call, send us a text. And our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. You know, a lot of people saying, yeah, it's a thumbs up for me. They only wish they could go home early as well. But then, you know, you have this, so our kids' education is second to adults playing a kid's sport. A big thumbs down. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's a football game, if it's a concert, if it's some other event in the area. You have an event taking place.
Yep.
That's drawing a lot of people. You just do.
Yeah.
It's not, nothing is going to change that. It happens once or twice a year. You have a major event. So what are you going to do about it? It's not as if there's one Lord decision maker. Do you want the queen? It sounds like this person wants the queen. It's not like there's one person just, this is what we do. I pounded the table too hard being the queen. You go to school this day and there's no events that are allowed to take place on this day. This is who controls everything. This is, I'm sorry, the NFL, when they make their schedule, clearly they're not thinking about school days or anything.
No, of course. I don't understand the pushback, but just like with every major decision, you know, you're going to have people that are going to be sour about it, but I will go back to the same people, if something happened on Monday, would say, why did the schools not close early? It's the same people. It's, you know, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the same people.
Who's going to watch the kids at 11 a.m.? The same people who would have watched the kids at 11 a.m. on the other half day.
Right. Yeah. Those plans are in place, aren't they?
You know what it is? I mean, listen, it's something every parent has to deal with all the time.
Yeah.
All the time for a million different scenarios. Who's going to watch it? What's the plan for this day? Kids have a half day. Kids have no school. I have to work. What's the plan?
Hey, it's election day. Who's going to watch the kids?
You have to deal with it all the time.
Yeah, that's a normal in school year for all parents.
Like, guess what? That's being a parent. You know, every week I'm sitting here, like on certain days, who's going to watch the kids? I mean, it's who's going to take. Anyways, I don't know. It just makes so much sense. You don't want somebody getting, you know what it's like on a game day around the stadium, and you want to just throw a bunch of kids out there in school buses and everything else.
It's insane. It's insane.
One, just bring everything to a grinding halt, which it already is, but even further out, expand that grinding halt. But two, you're putting kids in harm's way.
Yes, exactly.
And this is not a, I used to walk to school uphill both ways. You're going to let out an elementary, I park next to an elementary school sometimes.
Yes.
You're going to let kids out of that school as traffic is whizzing by going to a Bills game. And what, the kids are going to walk down the shoulder of the road next to Joe here carrying his 30 rack. Is that what you want? You want your kid walking next to this guy?
No, come on.
But anyway, I just, when, especially with it worded that way, reduce traffic, increase safety. Thumbs down.
Yes.
I can't get over it. But the other Bills thing, Joe, what makes you look like the smartest person, not
That's
just in
right.
this room, but in many rooms? We were talking with Nick Giamuso, owner of VIPTix.com, earlier this morning about the price of going to a game and the sticker shock that so many people are experiencing when they see this. Get in price, you're paying over $200 at least for the cheapest ticket on the secondary market. Secondary market because it's sold out. On the secondary market, if you want to go to Monday Night Football. And Joe, I've been pointing out, that's a deal.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the other games. You want to go see the Steelers? Bump that up near $300. Maybe even more. The Sunday Night Football game in a couple weeks. Some of these other games. Boom, $200 to $300 for the lowest price
right.
ticket.
That means you're sitting up with me.
It is a sticker shock. It's like an eye popper, and it happened to me earlier this week because I'm, you know, looking around. I do want to go to at least one home game every single year. I got one in mind, and I'm looking at that and saying, yeah, maybe not. You look at the price and you're going, I don't know, Jim. I'm not sure about that. And Joe, now you're the smartest person because anyone who bought season tickets is saying this is why we do it.
That's right. $45 a ticket a game, and I have two tickets. So, $90 to see. The home opener I actually got paid for, as you know. I got the tickets as a birthday gift and then sold my tickets and paid for more than half of my season tickets.
Specifically, Joe sold them to somebody in a Tennessee zip code. He wanted to make sure that a Titans fan got his tickets.
I wanted to make sure my first year in these new seats that everyone around me hated me.
No, but whether it is to go to all the games or whether you're profit. Looking to sell a couple of the games and, you know, you're looking to go to maybe six or five of them, but you want to sell a couple of the other games, this was the year to do so. Because how much is the cheapest season ticket for the Bills?
45. I'm in the cheapest.
No, for the whole season.
Oh, 900. I'm sorry, 450 for one ticket.
For one ticket, 450, and now you're looking at the secondary market. There's not a lot of tickets for sale. People want to go to these games. You could maybe, if you bought a season ticket and said, listen, I don't need to go to the game against the Steelers and one other game,
you could be
going to the rest of the games without paying for that ticket.
Yeah. $450 for a whole season for a ticket. I sold each seat for $250 each to the home opener, just to give you an idea how that goes. And that's how I got more than half of what I paid for two seats. By the way, Brian, you want to put this in a little perspective for the tickets on Monday. I have the list of all the lowest ticket to every game on the secondary market on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. The Bills are the most expensive, lowest at $202. Las Vegas comes in second at $193, but these averages are a lot lower than $100. The cheapest game, if you're looking to go to a game in the NFL, is Jacksonville-Indianapolis for $24. Just to put it in perspective, Dallas is second at $25.
That's what having a good team will do. Yeah. I mean, that's what the excitement goes for. I think that idea, though, if you're a season ticket holder, that you can sell a couple of the games and actually make it a wash for the year that is a new concept.
For Bills football, yes.
Because we have been talking for so many years. I still am kind of getting used to this mindset that going to games costs money. Because you're so used to, and Nick, when we talked to him earlier, backed this up, hearing the stories that you can go into a Bills game for $15, almost any game you want except for the season opener, especially later in the year, $5 and you're in. You can get anybody's ticket. The place isn't all that full.
You can shuffle the place out and get free tickets.
Yes!
I don't know if those deals will be there at the end of the year.
That was actually happening. Pick up a shovel, stay for a couple hours, you get to go to the game for free. That mindset is gone. I mean, that it is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
How it changes like a dime. Joe, I mentioned it was not that long ago. Josh Allen's first year. We were at the season opener. That's the most expensive game on the calendar, you know, give or take, every single year just about. And I remember looking at a $50 ticket going like,
right,
that would be more than I've ever paid for a Bills ticket in my entire life.
By the way, there is something that does bring ticket prices down, because right now we're looking at, you know, over $250 to go to the game on Monday. I went to the playoffs last year for less than $100 because it was freezing cold.
So isn't that wild? I mean, you could have got, we're talking about these prices here, $200 to $300 for basically the first half of the Bills home schedule, the first four or five games, hundreds of dollars for the cheapest ticket available on the secondary market. You could have went to the playoff game. You know, this is another win one for the dome crowd. You could have went to the playoff game for under $30 a ticket.
That's right.
Getting them the week before. I mean, think how crazy that is.
That is.
To see the Steelers on a Sunday afternoon, you know, in week, what is that, week four or five?
Week five, yeah.
You are paying five, six times as much as it costs to go to a playoff game. That's the difference weather can make.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Even here in Buffalo, where we're hardy people, your people are still, I'm unsure about, I love this team. They're great. I'll pay $300 in October, but January, December, I don't know.
See, I'll pay $300 and I'll go sit in the freezing cold to see the Bills have their way with the New England Patriots.
Someone said if you are able to take your family to a Bills game, you shouldn't qualify for a loan. I mean, that's the point that
that's
we are
point.
Right now. It does kind of stink in some ways that this is what happened. And I do want to point out, tickets at the box office were the single game tickets. I don't know, you know, much about year to year.
Right.
There was a slight increase for season tickets, I believe, year over year. But the single game tickets, when those went on sale, they were more expensive than they had been in previous years at the box office. But what we're talking about now is the secondary market, which is pretty much where I used to buy tickets for Bills games almost exclusively.
Sometimes you'd be standing in the parking lot at the stadium. I'll just wait before the game and get this on the app.
You could do that. It was not that hard to do.
By the way, you want to know how this is impacting away games, Brian? The Ravens are home today. Sunday to the Dolphins. Tickets around $100. The Bills, October 2nd, the lowest price, $200. It's affecting away games as well.
Traveling to some of these games might be a more cost-friendly option than going here.
But it's also raising the secondary price.
It's wild. Well, is it stopping you from going to a game this season? Have you looked at the ticket prices, and were you expecting that? I mean, everyone knows, all right, prices are going to go up when the team gets better. Were you expecting this? I mean, welcome to the NFL. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, welcome back. B-Maz and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Brian, before we get back to the Bills talk, I want to say this. You'll laugh at me, but I want to say this. I wish the Bisons were home today because they are playing against the Syracuse Mets. And guess who's pitching for Syracuse? Max Scherzer. Wish that game was downtown. Unfortunately, it's not. But good luck to the Syracuse Mets.
No, good luck to the good luck to the Bisons.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Good luck to the Bisons after Scherzer is pulled from the game because I really want him back in New York.
I don't care who that guy is.
All right.
The part I'm laughing at is just the question. Guess who's pitching for the Syracuse Mets?
Max Scherzer.
The Queen? Like, is that,
that would be amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that would be somebody.
You know, that's something that I want to know. Now,
me?
You know,
am I?
Ever since the Queen's passing, I've been just reading up on the monarchy. I really had never thought much about it.
You're going back to ninth grade history class.
Did they teach us about the monarchy in ninth grade?
Yeah.
In depth?
I mean, I'm more in depth than...
Well, it's all news to me. And I actually passed ninth grade history. Not ninth grade algebra, though. That's a different story. But I wonder if anyone in the royal family has ever thrown the first pitch at an American baseball game. That is now what I'm going to be seeking when I
have
some free time.
That's what's occupying your brain
space. Well, it hasn't yet. Hasn't yet. But when I get out of work, when I'm done with my duties here, that is what I'm going to spend some time on this afternoon.
Listen to this. I might have to take it back. For the entire show, I've been calling you the smartest man in the building.
And all show, I've
just
been shipping
trying
away at that.
To knock yourself back down. No. He is, because he bought season tickets this year. He's back in the game. It's okay. I can say it out loud now. He finally broke the news to his wife.
That's right.
But it's worth it because ticket prices to get into the Bills on the secondary market are... insane. To me, they're insane. As somebody who has bought Bills tickets a lot of times over the last 15 or so years, it is crazy how expensive some of these games are. You know, we were saying just 4 years ago, I'm looking at the home opener at $50 to get in and thinking, like that's a ton of money, way more than I usually ever spend to go to a Bills game. Last year's home opener was a very expensive ticket to go see. And I was like, my thinking last year was this is just the team is good. Plus, it's the first time people are allowed back in the stadium in over a year.
That was a big deal, yeah.
That level of excitement is not going to be matched. I was wrong. The entire first half of the schedule, basically, for the home schedule, is you're looking at over $200, near $300 as the cheapest price ticket on a lot of these secondary sites. We're talking like StubHub, SeatGeek, GameTime, all these apps that you hear about and places you can buy tickets.
Yeah. Now, if you want to, if you want to plan down the road, Brian, you can go see January 8th, the New England Patriots on To Be Determined for $54, which, as you said, used to be the price you would look at as the lowest for the home opener. It is now the last game of the season, $54 on a date to be determined.
The cold games.
Yes.
The cold games are still the ones that you're going to... So if you save your money maybe for the playoffs.
Exactly.
Because it's going to be cold, and maybe people won't want to go as much as they want to go at the beginning of the year.
I've just, the whole break, I've been looking at prices for all Bills games home and away. And by the way, right now, the most expensive game, the most expensive, cheapest price is $278, and that's the Green Bay game.
Yeah, Sunday Night Football, which has not been in Buffalo with fans in over a decade.
Wow.
It's been a very long time.
John Madden was still on the call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's with the Queen. It's been a very long time. But it's crazy. I'm wondering if it's impacting you. 803-0930. Are you buying tickets to Bills games like you had in the past? Are you a season ticket holder looking at this who loves going to every game, but now you're seeing that you might be able to get $300 for your ticket that you paid a fraction of the cost for and thinking, maybe I'll watch a couple of these home games at home instead of going out to the stadium? What are you thinking is the Bills are good and these ticket prices go through the roof? I'm certainly going to fewer games at home. I have, said my new thing now is I put off season tickets. I like going to the one road game. But then, Joe, I'm always like thinking, well, I'll go to a home game too. Like I always end up going to a game. And now I'm looking at this saying, I don't know if that's really going to be the case. Somebody chimed in. It is making me think about this, Joe. On our text board, someone said, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, how much do you think tickets would be then? And I have to admit, even though I don't like putting the cart before the horse, I am enjoying every game, you know, not just thinking about winning it all. But I have thought about that game a lot. I have no desire to go to the Super Bowl.
No. I want to be in Buffalo.
Yeah. I want to be at a party with friends. I want to do something around here where the excitement is going to be in the air. Now, it's different, you know, if the Sabres were in the Cup Finals. I remember being at Game 3 in 99. Oh, my goodness.
Electric.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's different when it's in your home rink. I have no desire to go to the Super Bowl if the Bills are ever in it. What I want to go to is that game the Bills just played in.
Yes.
The season after, the celebration.
The banner.
Of the Super Bowl team, the next game, that pre-game atmosphere, that.
What's your price, though?
See, that's, I don't know. Like, that is the game that I was thinking would cost $200 or so dollars to get in at
now
the cheapest price. Now, I mean, what is the price on that game?
Yeah.
I mean, is it $1,000? And by the way, these are all, this
cheapest.
Is the asking price, too.
Yes.
This doesn't mean you have to, it's like, when people look at something on eBay, this is selling for whatever on eBay. No, it's listed for.
Right.
You have to look, what did people actually pay to have this? So as of right now, and it does appear that there's some movement that people are paying this price to get into the game, but it remains to be seen. And this always ebbs and flows. These are the asking prices. So what the question really is if you have tickets to that game, what's the price that you're willing to let that go for?
Ooh.
Right? Because that is really what we're talking about here. These, you might look at it from a buyer's perspective, which I am, because I don't have the tickets in hand, as this game, what are you willing to pay to get in? But on the other side of that is often somebody, now sometimes people just buy tickets to sell them, which, you know, that would be nothing new. But for a lot of these season ticket holders who have the tickets, the reason the price is so high is, okay, I'm putting this listing out there at $300 for my seat at the top of the stadium because that is how much it would take for me to give up being at that game.
I could not give up. I've been waiting my entire existence for that game. I am not giving that ticket up. I wouldn't give up a playoff ticket. Like, a playoff ticket and the banner game are things that I have spent my life dreaming about.
Picture Sunday Night Football coming up in a few at the end of October, about a month away. Sunday night at the stadium with a good team against a storied team that only comes here once every 8 years.
Yeah.
So why are tickets on the secondary market $300+ for that? Well, if you have a ticket right now to that game, what is the price where somebody can say to you, I'm going to give you this amount of money, and you'll say, okay, I don't need to go to that game anymore.
Yeah, I can still see it. Yeah.
So for that game, if they ever win a Super Bowl, that next game at home to open the season, that big celebration, I think we are going to be talking about like $1,000 or something like that. These crazy prices that you would think like, hey, I paid less to actually go to the Super Bowl in the early 90s. That might be the price.
Now, you talk about, you know, the stadium being packed and these prices, and you brought up something earlier that I wanted to get to because, Brian, we spent so much time talking about this new stadium, and I'm sure we will continue. You mentioned in Pittsburgh the standing room at the stadium. They also have standing room at the arena in Pittsburgh as well. Do you think with the demand that we are seeing for the Bills, the new stadium would have some kind of standing room?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think
Detroit.
That's been talked about.
Okay.
The party area.
Yes.
And it's not just an area for people to hang out. I think there will be tickets distributed as a standing room only ticket.
Would you go to a Bills game in a standing room only?
Sure. Okay. I only stand as it is.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Like, that's standing room only doesn't bother me not having a seat because I only stand it. The only problem with the standing room only is the finding of a spot.
And keeping it.
Keeping it isn't that, like, once I'm in my seat, I'm pretty much there for the duration of 4 hours. And that's true. That's a game. That's a concert.
Yeah.
The only time that's really ever different is, like, a Sabres game, intermissions. You know, maybe at halftime, you walk around, you go to the bathroom or something like that. But generally speaking, I'm parked in the same place. But it is like kind of finding that spot where I can just at least feel. I just don't want to be looking at the back of somebody's head, is basically. Like, that's, I don't even need a great look at the field. I just need to be around there.
Because I was going to say something, but then I remembered that the top level needs those reinforcements every year. Because I was going to say the top of the 300 could easily be standing room. There's a lot of space there. You could have a few standing room people and not be in the way. I've actually stood there while I'm waiting for the play to stop.
Stand by the sheriffs?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, but then I remembered they need reinforcements. Maybe we shouldn't add people to the top level.
My favorite thing, every year I hear this, is somebody up at the top of the stadium, and you hear it every time. At some point in the first half of the game, you can overhear somebody going, there's a bathroom up here? Right? Like, if somebody just finds that out for the first time at every single Bills home game.
Not only a bathroom. In the winter, you come to find it's a heated bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's a nice place to be at halftime.
It's, which you don't say about bathrooms an awful
lot. No, but when it's freezing, yeah. I usually like to go up there, find a stall, and just spend halftime in the bathroom.
Just hanging out. on our text board, 803-0930, someone is mentioning about the personal seat licenses for a new stadium. You know, a friend of mine's had season tickets for 30 years, and now they're going to they want X amount of dollars for a new personal seat license. I want to say first things first, to the person who texted in, everybody who's kind of thinking this, if you are assuming or you hear that, okay, you have tickets, a personal seat license for a new stadium is going to cost this amount of money, That's not... You don't rumor. Have that information
it's
yet.
It's just a rumor.
Anything you hear about that now is just a rumor.
Yep.
And whatever that figure is there's no guarantee that that's going to be the figure. They've sent out a survey. The PSL number has... And that's a one-time fee. I mean, what was the range on that? I mean, they've gone on the range from like... A house, you know, but like all the way down to like $500 or something like
right.
that. Like, there is a humongous range that they have put out there in terms of what people would pay for this. I have the different view. I mean, if you had a personal seat license right now, I mean, you're almost extra smart. You're extra Joe Beamer today because it's almost like an investment for when things are good. You pay that amount up front, the personal seat license will always be there for a new season ticket holder, but it's never going to be as cheap as when it's first offered.
Right. Yep.
So if you want to sell that, you can sell your seats, but you also have that personal seat license to sell to whoever it might be who wants to pay 3-4 times the amount, however many years down the line. So I think of it as, listen, nobody really likes the idea. I don't like spending any money. I have thought of that as more of having an asset than a cash grab or something like that. Like, that is the way that I've viewed it. You could say that's the way I've rationalized it in my brain. You're probably right on that. But I do view it as having an asset that will appreciate over time.
And something we have learned about the PSLs, you're right, Brian, we don't know the price, but that it wouldn't be something that you had to pay all up front. They would offer payment plans. I believe that was said on this show when asked about PSLs. So there would be payment plans. It wouldn't be all up front. It would just be in with your season ticket payment.
Which is still going to be more.
Exactly. I'm just saying, you know, the texture made it sound like you have to pay it all up front. That's not, I believe we had Ryan Mercullia on who said you could, you know, depending on what the price would be, you could stretch that over 2 or 3 years.
This is like getting you ready for the new stadium.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
This is like new stadium, new NFL pricing right here. And I don't know. It's just weird in this market. We're really seeing it for the first time. I can't remember. I wasn't, and I don't know how many of these, you still had actual paper tickets.
Yes.
Back in 2006 when the Sabres were really good.
That's right.
And it was hard. Those two seasons, it was hard to get a ticket. Not at first, actually, to the 05-06 team.
The year after the lockout? Oh, my gosh. The first half of the season, yeah. You could walk in.
The next year is really when that started to go over. They had the waiting list for season tickets. I don't remember, you know, how much an average game would have cost then for the Sabres. But that is like the last time I can think about where you would have had sticker shock to go to a game. Actually, last year for the Sabres, you might have had sticker shock to go to the game. Because just like these Bills, believe it or not, last year's Sabres are just like these Bills when it comes to buying a ticket. You had fewer season ticket holders willing to sell the tickets. Now, with the Bills here, it's because you have season ticket holders who want to go to games, so there's less of them selling their tickets in the public. You know, less supply, greater demand, price goes up. For the Sabres, there was just less season ticket holders.
Right.
So you had fewer people trying to offload tickets and less supply. Not really an increased demand, but a real shortage in the supply in the secondary market. It was more expensive to go to a Sabres game last year than it was in, you know, many of the past 10 years, really.
That Montreal game, right after the lockout, the first regular season game after the lockout, me and a bunch of friends from high school got an entire row at the arena, and, you know, we're high school students. It was pretty inexpensive, but those same tickets at the end of the year when the place was sold out, almost impossible to get, you know, a ticket for what we paid for most of the row.
And I think that's like the way of looking at it, too. Now, we've been so focused on the price of the ticket.
Yeah.
Really what it is it's just hard to get anyone who doesn't want to be there.
Yes.
And that's like when I think about the Sabres, it was hard to get a ticket because everyone wanted the ticket. You could always get a ticket if you were willing to spend a crazy sum of money.
Exactly.
Like, that's true for anything.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the bills now. It's hard to get a ticket, not so much because of, but also for me because of the price. But it's hard to get a ticket because everyone wants to be there. Like that's the reason at the start of the day.
Plan your games now. The three home games that have a low price of under $100 in the division, Brian. New York, Miami, New England. You can get those games.
Buy a coat.
You can get those games under $100 if you get them right now.
Hot hands.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to. The thing here, Joe, is it's so new to, I think, a lot of people, and myself included. Like, I don't know if my normal rules of getting in for not spending a ton of money apply. Like, the normal rule of waiting until close to kickoff. Like, could you confidently now go set up everything, go and tailgate without a ticket, knowing that, oh, the ticket price is going to decrease 3 hours before kickoff because somebody is trying to unload this ticket? I mean, that is a steadfast rule, but does it apply when the team is this good and demand is so high?
I would say no for two reasons. One, you can't guarantee there will still be tickets left that close to kickoff. And number two, you have to be really quick because if someone has their ticket set to drop, you know how it's more than just you in the parking lot looking for that ticket to drop. There's multiple people waiting on that ticket to drop.
I know, it's crazy, but it's like another cost to doing business, right?
That's right.
It's what happens.
It's a cost of being good. Yeah, exactly.
It's just so foreign being good.
I like it,
still,
though. I like it.
But it makes it more foreign. Like, we've been good for a few years, but this is, like, the first year. It's wide open to everybody. Everyone can go to the game. Like, you're not worried about anyone's restriction, anything like that. Like, 2020, the team was good.
Yes.
Super good.
Couldn't go.
You couldn't go to the game. Right. So, it's like now, you're sticker shock. You're feeling it for the first time.
And the demand was there in 2020.
Yes, it was. I wanted to go, but you were stuck with my garage, which was, you know,
pretty fun.
Yeah, but not the same.
In the elements, exciting team, good times had by all. All right, we'll do this again tomorrow together, BMaz and BMaz.
Oh, I can't wait. We're back.
David is up next after the news here on News Radio 930 WBEN.